Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, indeed, Father, we'll be face to face with Him. Father, I'm convinced that all that I will be able to say is, wow. Father, I have a suspicion that Jesus the Christ, He is more holy, He's more wonderful, He's more special, He's more beautiful than I could ever imagine. Father, You again are so wonderful. And Father, You always know what You're doing. Father, Isaiah said well when he said, "There is none like You, no, not even one." And Father, You always do Your good pleasure. Not sometimes, but always. Father, this indeed is a most special time in the life of this church, in the life of their pastor. Father, be near them. Father, that indeed they might proclaim the message of Jesus the Christ. Father, apart from Him, there is absolutely no salvation. And Father, these are not my words. It's what the Scripture says. Father, thank You. Father, You always know what we need. Father, I must confess that I don't always understand You. Oh, I know Your ways are much higher than my ways. They really are. Father, it's true not only in my life, but in the life of every believer. Oh, You always know what's best. We never understand You fully. And Father, Jesus Christ is like a bottomless pool. The deeper you go, the more we learn of Him, the more there is to learn about Him. Father, He is just that great. And it won't be long. Oh no, it won't be long. And we as believers will stand around the throne of God and we will sing a brand new song. Father, thank You. Thank You for what You're doing. And You are busy making us just like Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You for everything. And Father, I'm mindful that You are at work even when we don't recognize it. You are busy molding us and shaping us to be just like Jesus Christ. Father, thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I would like to say to you that I'm happy for you as a church. I really am. I'm happy, Pastor, for you. I really am. And Can I tell you something? You might as well let me, because I'm going to tell you anyway. It's been a long time since you've heard that, I know. But you know what? I have missed every one of you. I really have. Leaving here was probably one of the hardest things I ever did. But it was necessary to leave here. Because this place, as you are aware, oh, it had so many memories. Some good, some not so good. And it was imperative that I did leave. And I put a lot of thought, a lot of prayer into it. Anyway, I wanted you to know that I have missed you. I really have. And as you are aware of, there's been a lot of water under the bridge. I mean that literally. Yeah. But you know what else? You folks have done a marvelous job. Amen. Not only with this auditorium, but with the Fellowship Hall. All that has been a testimony. People are watching you. Oh, you can't imagine how they're watching you. And they're wanting you to falter. They're wanting you to fail. But you know what? You didn't falter. You didn't fail. So, you are to be commended. And I want to personally thank you for the privilege. And this is indeed a privilege for me. When you live in May, listen, this is a privilege. May is nowhere. And as I've said this morning, you don't go there by accident. You go there on purpose. I think Ted knows. Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere. It is. And this, as I've already alluded to before, is a very special time in the life of this church. You have a brand new pastor. That's good. And this is really a most special time in your life as well. And yours, girl. I always say girl. Because the only thing I see is blue and pink. That's all I see. So everybody, well, not everybody, but the women are girls. That's just how it is. And I tell you what, this is indeed a special time for me. Because, pastors, I know you. It's so good to see you guys. It really is. And you will have to forgive me because I am more emotional than I used to be. Historically, I have never been an emotional person. That has changed. I am much more emotional now. I really am. But it's personal because I know these men. And like I've said, it's good to see you. It's personal because I know you as a church. It's personal because I know you guys. It really is. And this church knows what it must do. Pastor, I think you know what you must do. But anyway, I want us to listen to Paul's words to young Timothy. Timothy was special to Paul the apostle. And you are special. You may not understand it. You may not realize it. But you really are. And you have been elevated to a most special place. Listen to Paul the Apostle, if you would. He says, I charge thee. Now we'll stop there for a moment. Pastor, this is a charge to you. It really is. And the word charge is also translated testify 11 times. Paul is saying, Timothy, I testify. I charge. It's also translated witness one time. Timothy, I witness. I charge. Oh, listen, Spurgeon was not an ordained minister. And yet, Spurgeon is called the Prince of Preachers. Some people do not believe that the pastor is ordained. They believe that the only authority is God-given authority. I like Spurgeon's writings. I'm a Spurgeon person. Well, he's wordy, all right. But Spurgeon did not believe in the ordination. Spurgeon was never ordained. I can remember when I was ordained. I really can. I was ordained twice. Once as a convention Baptist, once as a Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist. Twice I was. And so, ordination must never take the place of God calling a man. It must never take the place of the church calling a man as its pastor. But I am convinced ordination is most important. I was ordained. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I charge thee. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I do believe at this point Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the power on high. But there's coming a time when he will get up and he will sit upon the throne of his father David, and he will rule the world with a rod of iron. I'm premillennial, as you are aware. That's all I have ever been. That's all I know. Oh, I know what these other views teach, but the other views are not what I believe. I'm convinced they're not what Paul believed. It is believed that that Timothy was the pastor at the church at Ephesus. I don't know. He may have just been a member. I don't know. I believe that Paul the apostle was imprisoned twice. Not everybody believes that. I understand that. And my attitude is, they can be wrong if they want to be. He was imprisoned. He got out. He went to Spain. He went back to Macedonia. And that's when he wrote 1 Timothy. Within 6 months, he wrote 2 Timothy. He was arrested a second time. This time, he didn't survive. He lost his head. About the year 68 AD, I understand. But you know, Paul also wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Now, be mindful that he had already charged Timothy. Timothy, I charge you. Just you. I charge you. But in 2 Timothy 4, 2, he tells Timothy, in addition, he says, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. There are times that God's people must be reproved. Pastor, that's your responsibility. It is. It's not always easy. Reprove. Rebuke. If necessary, of course. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Doctrine. That's just another word for teaching. Pastor, you have to do that. You're being charged. When God called you, when this people called you, that's what they intended. I think you know that. Paul knew that. I am convinced that Paul, when he left Damascus, he went to Sinai. That's my attitude. And there, God taught him personally. God told, well, Saul it was then. He taught him, this is how it's going to be. Oh, listen, Pastor. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. That time is here right now. It's here. There's a lot of folk who will not endure sound doctrine. You know what sound is. You know what doctrine is. You know what the Word of God teaches. That's what you are to teach. It is. And in verse 4, he says, they will turn away their ears from truth. There's a lot of folk that won't listen to truth. They will walk over truth to believe, as it were, a lie. People will do that. And then he says, when they turn their ears away from truth, they will turn unto fables. I've talked to people, and no doubt you have too, about their need for Christ and the attitude I saw. Is there what you're saying, preacher? But what you're saying is foolishness. I'm not going to believe it. And you've had the same experience. Oh, Pastor, God no doubt has called you. This church has no doubt called you. God has told you what you must do. You know. And church, this, I'm not delivering a charge to you, but you need to obey this man. And Mr. Charlie, I am convinced that this people will learn as much by watching you the way you live your life, the way you love your wife. That's true. And this people will learn. And I'm convinced that you cannot make enough mistakes. Not that you would, but you cannot make enough mistakes to ruin this people. If the people only see in you, hey, that guy loves his wife, I am convinced that too is very, very important. And I'm convinced, as I read Paul, that Paul thought it was very important too. Love her. Cherish her. Love this people. Cherish them. And if you do, they will follow you anywhere. And they will do whatever you ask. Just love them. And this people is like any people. They just want to be loved. They just want to be needed. That's just how it is. Yeah. I am convinced that what Jesus Christ did at Calvary for you, for those of you that believe, for me, that it is a fulfillment of what Moses wrote about. Listen to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. And you've heard this before. Moses writes, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you." What had God given? The blood. "I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh the atonement." And at Calvary, Jesus Christ, oh, he shed his blood. I will never fully understand. Oh, I know, and I can tell you what the scripture says, but I don't fully understand everything that is meant. But it's so important that as a believer, that you remember that Jesus Christ died for you. He became sin for you. He that knew no sin was made sin for you. And not only that, but you can never lose what he's given you. Not that you'd want to, but you can't. Because God is God. And as long as he is God, and how do you say that? Forever? Eternally? He will always be God? You will always be saved. But that, likewise, is the message that you need to proclaim, that this people needs to proclaim, that Paul warned Timothy, "Timothy, I'm charging you, be instant, in season, out of season. Always be ready to give account. Always be ready to tell any person what God has done for you." You know what? They can't deny it. Oh, he's been so wonderful. He is so wonderful. He will always be so wonderful. Because he is God. Oh, the writer of the book of Hebrews, he wrote in Hebrews 10 and verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." But Jesus Christ, His blood is sufficient. Timothy, I charge you. And listen to what Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" The answer is no. They must believe essentially what you believe. What you believe is what you must teach. They will go to Scripture, as did the Bereans, to see if what you've taught them is what the Word of God says. And that's all right. That's all right. Oh, listen, Pastor, we will pray for you and for this church. You folks need the prayer. I need the practice. I do. But you know what? Love your wife. Love your people. Do what the Scripture says. Let them see it in your life. If you really believe it, you will live it. I'm convinced because I know you. Not as well as you do, obviously, but I know you. I'm convinced you know what you must do. And this church knows. Otherwise, they would never have called you. You have felt the Lord's leadership. They extended a call. You, well, I started to use the word accepted, but that's not a good word, I understand. But you know what I mean. You are their new pastor. Congratulations. Let's all bow our heads and let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. And Father, I pray for this man. I pray for this people, this church. Father, be near to them. Father, strengthen them. Strengthen him and his wife. Father, indeed, that he might be a tool in your hand. Father, accomplish your purpose in this place through him. Through them. And Father, keep on being God. And you will. Father, I'm mindful of the man Moses in the Old Testament. And he said, "Lord, when I go back to Egypt and I tell the people that the God of your fathers has called me, he wants me to lead you out of Egypt. And if they should ask, what is your name? What in the world should I tell them?" tell them, I am what I am. And in Hebrew, it's Hayah, Hayah. Father, you are what you are. That's the only way you could answer. Father, you are what you are. There's nobody like you. Father, the scripture declares that the king's heart is in your hand. Father, I do petition your throne of grace. My prayer is that this man's heart be in your hand. That, Father, that he be sensitive, super sensitive to your spirit, to your touch, to your leadership. Father, be near. Oh, Father, your desire for us is that we might trust you more fully. Father, you know I trust you. But Father, there's so often times that I don't trust you like I should. Father, I trust you, but help me in my unbelief. And Father, this man, he is exactly the same way. Father, he's not what he ought to be, but he's not what he used to be. Father, indeed, guide and direct him. Father, that the people in this area would know, indeed, there is a man of God. There are a people of God that are living in this place. Father, our prayer and our desire is that people listen, that people be converted, that people believe the gospel, that this people grow and they mature in the Lord. Father, be near them. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is soon coming again. Amen.